From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Senate is about to go into session, and the suspense over whether supporters have enough votes to repeal the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell rule could be over today. A procedural vote is expected this morning, and supporters of allowing gays to serve openly think they have enough votes to move it toward final passage. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin says his colleagues are ready to get rid of the ban.
It'll be a chance for members of the Senate to go on record about whether or not they believe we should move beyond the practices of the past.
If the measure gets the 60 votes it needs to advance, it could win final passage by late this afternoon. Opponents, including Republican Senator John McCain of Arizona, say the law should not be changed during wartime. Despite another North Korean warning of a fresh attack if South Korea holds live fire drills, the South says it will go on with the exercises. From Busan, Dwalisai Kowtow reports the South's military says it's prepared to retaliate against any North Korean provocation.
A spokesman for South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff says the South's military is ready to respond to any possible provocation by North Korea. The one-day test firing of artillery will be held as planned from Yongpyeong Island, military officials say, but not this weekend due to bad weather. The drills are similar to ones conducted by the South's Navy last month when North Korea attacked and killed four South Koreans. More than 1,400 people were also displaced. Pyongyang claims the South fired into its territorial waters, and in retaliation, the North's army fired an estimated 170 artillery shells on the island. Yesterday, the North warned of more attacks if South Korea goes ahead with the military exercises. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau in Busan, South Korea.
WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange claims sex crimes allegations against him are politically motivated and that he was always available to meet with Swedish authorities for questioning. However, Britain's Guardian newspaper says it's had unauthorized access to the police files in the case, and as Larry Miller reports from London, they appear to contradict some of what Assange and his lawyers have said.
According to the Guardian, the Swedish documents show Assange was due to be questioned on October 14th, but didn't show up. The Guardian says he was aware of the meeting, but had already left for London. A Swedish arrest warrant was issued around 2 weeks ago, and Assange is on bail in England while he fights extradition. The police file goes into extensive detail over the allegations, which focus primarily on Assange's alleged preference for unprotected sex against the wishes of the two complainants who knew each other and had sex with him on consecutive days in August. Assange denies the allegations. His lawyers insist they've not seen the evidence, but The Guardian understands his Swedish defense team has copies of all the documents. His lawyers say there's other evidence they haven't been given. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. The Senate has a lot on its agenda besides today's expected vote on whether to repeal the ban on gays serving openly in the military. Senators are also scheduled to vote on the DREAM Act, which would give provisional legal status to illegal immigrants brought to the country as children. Also, President Obama used his weekly address to urge the Senate to ratify the new arms treaty with Russia. Senator John Cornyn of Texas is hailing the tax cut legislation President Obama signed yesterday. He says the deal came about because of the midterm election.
This bipartisan agreement was made possible because voters gave Republicans much more leverage at the negotiating table.
The $858 billion deal preserves the Bush-era tax cuts, reduces the 2011 Social Security payroll tax, and extends benefits for the long-term unemployed. The Obama administration is issuing new guidelines designed to protect government scientists from political interference. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the guidelines have been on the drawing board for more than a year and a half.
The guidelines say government scientists should be free to talk about their research with the public and the press, that members of scientific advisory committees should be chosen for their expertise, and that politicians should not suppress or alter scientific findings. Francesca Griffo of the Union of Concerned Scientists calls the guidelines a promising blueprint, but a rough one. She notes a lot of the details still have to be worked out.
The agencies have a lot of work to do, and we have a lot of work to do to watch the agencies, because there are places where this is quite vague.
President Obama initially wanted these guidelines finished in the summer of last year. Agencies now have another 4 months to report on their progress. Scott Horsley, NPR News, The White House.
And I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News, in Washington.